a friend whose background was in Zen and Christianity once asked me, "You Theravadins, where is your faith? What do you have faith in? What do you believe in?" And then he added, "And don't say faith in the Dharma, that's too broad and general." It was an easy question to answer. So we have faith in the Buddha's awakening. Everything else that we do in our practice revolves around that event. It's one of those events that assigns meaning to other events in time and space. In fact, for those of us who practice, it is the event that assigns meaning. We don't know the full extent of what the Buddha awakened to. After all, he said, what he taught was just like a handful of leaves compared to the leaves in the forest. But that handful of leaves does give us enough to go on to decide what really matters in life. How the world works, and how we can make it work for the sake of a true, lasting, and harmless happiness. It gives perspective to everything else that happens. So we have to keep that perspective in mind. As news of the pandemic gets more and more grim, it's good to remember what the Buddha learned in his first knowledge. Death is not the end. Craving and consciousness can feed each other. And go on and on and on. What the Buddha learned in his second knowledge, so how things go on and on, depends on the quality of our actions. The quality of our actions depends on our intentions, and our intentions depend on our views. And then the third knowledge is that we can gain escape from all this, and it's the ultimate happiness. We have to keep those facts in mind so as we go through our daily lives, we don't get worn down by the tedium and by the apparent hopelessness around us. Because it's not just the pandemic. You look at our institutions, the people running them seem to be craven. All they can think about is how this is a time to make money off of other people's suffering. It's a very bleak perspective. But you have to remember that what we see in the human world is not everything to the world. It's not the whole world. It's not the whole range of possibilities. We have to keep that larger set of possibilities in mind. And that's what gives meaning to our actions. As the Buddha said, there are worldly treasures, the treasures of money, gold, silver, land, possessions. But that's nothing compared to the treasures of the mind. He gave a list of noble treasures. There's conviction, a sense of shame, a sense of compunction, virtue, learning, generosity, discernment. They come down, though, basically to three things: generosity, virtue, and right view. These are the things we can take with us. Generosity, of course, is a form of wealth. And the texts talk quite a bit about the wealth that will come from being generous, but also the wealth that comes to the mind right now by being generous. There's a spaciousness of the mind. And the Buddha described mundane right view. One of the first things he said was, there is giving, which seems obvious. But he's underlining the importance of being generous, that it's a meaningful act. If there were just the pandemic, just the behavior of society around us, giving would seem to be kind of futile. But in the larger perspective provided by the Buddha's awakening, generosity is really important. Fosters a quality of mind that provides the foundation for the development of all the good qualities of the mind. As the Buddha said, if beings understood as he did the power of generosity, they didn't even if it were the last meal, they wouldn't eat without having shared. And same with virtue. Virtue includes a sense of shame and a sense of compunction. They go together. You refrain from doing harm. And your motivation is that you, one, would be ashamed to do harm. You realize that it's beneath you. And your sense of compunction, that you really do care about the results of your actions. This, too, is a form of wealth, and it's a wealth that sticks with you. It protects you from doing all kinds of things that would become wounds in the mind. And like generosity, it gives you a genuine basis for self-esteem, self-respect. That even though other people may be acting in ways that are not restrained, you have the dignity of restraint. You give yourself value as a human being. There was a film years back by Fellini. He did a version of the Satyricon. There's one long section where everything is falling apart in society. And then it suddenly switches to one scene in a garden where two people are behaving in a very dignified manner in spite of everything falling apart around them. And in the context of the movie, it seemed rather ironic. There was this little island of human dignity. But from the point of view of the Buddha's awakening, our dignity is a large thing, an important thing to develop. Because we are beings who are capable of putting an end to suffering. We are capable of rising above our cravings and our clingings. That's why the truths are noble truths. When the Buddha talks about the noble truth of suffering, it's not that suffering is noble, but when you realize that clinging is suffering, and you're going to comprehend your clinging to the point of dispassion for it, that's a noble act. And when the Buddha talks about the awakened ones being noble, this is precisely the kind of thing he had in mind. It's not the nobility of birth or the nobility of having large manors, manor homes. It's the nobility of restraint. The nobility of not giving in to your thirsts. And finally, the factors, the forms of wealth that cluster around discernment. In addition to discernment, there's learning and there's conviction. The conviction is when we borrow the Buddha's awakening. We don't get the real thing, but we do get part of the perspective, the part that he said would be useful. We keep that in mind. And based on that, we learn the Dhamma. That furnishes the mind with good maxims, with good principles. So when questions come up, something the Buddha said will run right in and give us some guidance. So again, we're borrowing the Buddha's wisdom. As for discernment, that's when we develop our own. We see into the mind exactly how the mind creates unnecessary suffering and how it can stop. And how it can master all the skills that are needed to stop. Because discernment in the Buddhist teaching is not just knowing things. It's mastering skills. And when we have these skills, then as John Lee says, especially with the skills of discernment, even if you find yourself born with nothing but a machete, you can still set yourself up in life. Knowing how to use the machete properly. Knowing how to use whatever you find in a proper way. So keep the perspective provided by the Buddha's awakening in mind to give us a sense of what really matters in life. And the perspective it provides is hopeful. Even though things may seem dark around us, we rise above the darkness. We rise above the narrow confines of this one life, on this one level of being. And we take the larger view, and taking the larger view, it invests our daily actions with meaning. So even though life may get cut short, it still has meaning. And a meaning that doesn't end with death has a meaning that goes on. So always keep that perspective in mind. It's what provides us with refuge and strength and a clear sense of direction. And at least an inkling of what really is possible, of what our efforts can attain.